Let's Talk About is recorded and produced in Treaty 1 territories, on the original lands of the Anishinaabe, Cree, Oji-Cree, Dakota, and Dene peoples, and on the homeland of the Métis Nation. Thank you very much for listening. Right, a quick little heads up. This episode, it's weird enough to say that this is what I have to top off the show with, but this episode will contain mild spoilers for WandaVision on Disney Plus. It's weird the fact that this is the thing that I have to provide a warning for, because I'm probably going to get the most backlash from people angry that I spoiled bits of WandaVision for them, or bits of the MCU for them, when I'm going to be sitting here talking about mental health. So, just a little aside, if you haven't watched WandaVision yet, of the date of recording, the first 5 episodes are out. So, go watch it. It's a great show, and it's going to blow your mind. One of the main tenets of WandaVision is the concept of grief. And how we process things like grief. And it's difficult to really talk about grief in a consistent way, because everybody experiences it slightly differently. The reason I'm bringing this up, aside from the fact that it's WandaVision, is that Manitoba is creeping ever closer to that terrifying 1,000 dead number. So there are, you know, and if you count all the people that have passed away from the time the COVID-19 pandemic started to now, we are well clear of 1,000 people who've passed. It's, you know, almost 1,000 excess deaths that didn't need to happen. So a lot of us are grieving right now. A lot of people have lost people. I'm lucky enough that I haven't had to experience grief and loss in a very long time. I've had my fair share, believe me. But I haven't had to experience it in a very long time. Thankfully, throughout this entire pandemic, friends, family, they've all been healthy. I don't think I know a single person who's contracted COVID-19. I know a few people that have had a few scares, who have been around close contacts. I mean, one of people in my household is a healthcare professional and is currently, as I'm taping the show, at the hospital working and taking care of COVID suspect patients, most likely. I don't know. I won't know until they get home. But there are a lot of people out there grieving right now. And I want to kind of shed a little bit of light on that. because this pandemic has been so destructive on a lot of levels that we didn't really think about. Or we have thought about so often that they have kind of pushed themselves into the background. Maybe I should start with a story. When I was barely 20 years old, I actually have the exact date. I just paused the episode to go and look it up. May 27th, 2015. So cast your mind back to 2015, almost six years ago. I woke up early. I was woken up in the morning by a phone call. It was one of the supervisors at work, calling me and letting me know that one of my best friends had died. He, at the time, I'm 26 now. I was 20 at the time. He was 19. As he was doing, you know, basically every night during the summer, he would get off work, if he was working, or, you know, if he was just, you know, a random Tuesday, he would hop on his bike. He had this beautiful, beautiful motorcycle, street bike, and he would go out near the perimeter. He would find kind of the straightest and emptiest road he could find, and he would just rip up and down the street for hours. He would cruise around the city basically all night if he could. And this particular night, he was going down a stretch of road, and I've been down that stretch of road countless times. I've been by there. An ex-partner of mine, basically, to go from being at the university to where she lived, I would have to, the fastest way was to go by that stretch of road. So, you know, basically every day I'd have to drive by it for a couple of years. And he was going down that stretch of road, and it's one of those kind of roads on the outskirts of a development. It's much more built up now, but back then it was just kind of a, you know, two-lane street, two lanes on either side with a large patch of grass in the median. And he was going down, and there was probably a couple kilometer stretch where there weren't any side roads that met up with it. Passed the first one, no problem. And as he's passing the second one, an SUV comes out from the side street and clips his bike on the side. And that was it. That's all it took. It was a person who didn't react quick enough. He wasn't able to react quick enough, and one little tap, and it was over. So May 27th, I get woken up to that phone call. Basically, I was asked if I could work that day, because people were just distraught, and I said no. I spent probably the whole day on and off just crying, because I couldn't process it. I still, like, think about it from time to time, and I, like everybody, blame myself in a weird way. One of the last things he ever said to me, it was that night. It was May 26th. I wanted the night off, and I asked him to take my shift, and he said, "No, I can't. I've got plans tonight. Sorry." And that was the last time I ever said anything to him. And I blamed myself for a very long time after that, telling myself, oh, if I was just a little bit more persuasive, if I was a little bit more insistent, if I came up with some excuse, he would have been where I was standing that night. You know, at the time it happened, I was walking home from work. If I had been able to persuade him, he would have been walking home at that same time, not been on that stretch of road. And that was something I had to live with for a very long time, and it's stupid. But you blame yourself. It's inevitable. It's part of the grieving process, I guess. And that led into me losing three people in 4 years. Three young people. Two people a year younger than me. One my age. Guy I graduated high school with. A guy who was very close with a few of my friends. And in that stretch of 4 years, it really... it really just hurts. You know, for the longest, my entire life, I've never been able, you know, whenever somebody comes into my life, I could never think of a world where they're not around, because I can't. I don't want to be without people. I care about people. And then you're forced to lose somebody to deal with the fact that they're never going to be there again. It's hard. And when you're young, you know, I was 20 when I lost one of my best friends. I was 21. I was 22 when I lost another person, and I was 23 when I lost the next one. And when you're in your 20s, it's easy to feel invincible. When you're young, you're in the prime of your life, you're free, you're healthy, and life is good. You're discovering who you are, and you feel like nothing bad could ever happen to you. You're taking risks. And it's amazing how an incident like that can forever change your life and change your outlook on life. You know, I've never been a terribly risky person, but I think that period of my life really hammered home how dangerous or how not invincible I was. And I've gone through a lot of stuff, let me tell you, but stuff that I'm not at liberty to say on this podcast. Not that I necessarily don't want to, or is that, you know, it's complicated. People involved are complicated. But grief is a weird thing. It follows you. One of my friends, her birthday is forever linked to that day in 2015. Because the day we all found out was her birthday. So she forever has to deal with that. That event changed so many people's lives. Like, so much happened in the time after that. We had people, you know, one person broke up with her boyfriend. Another guy quit his job and went back to school. Another guy went and traveled around the world. Somebody else, like, went skydiving. Like, people dealt with that. And we were all in our 20s, like, early 20s. And we all dealt with it slightly differently. And for better or for worse, we all changed because of it. And I think that's important to know. Grief isn't like a quick snap. You process it and it's over. It's something that follows you. It's like a trauma. It follows you the rest of your life. You know, have decided, and I've told people this, like, I'm never going to let my children ever ride a motorcycle. Ever. Ever again. The fact that my friends do it, and they do it somewhat recklessly, scares the hell out of me every time. But I'm not going to tell them no, because I can't tell them no. I'm not, you know, I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to make that decision for them. But they know. They know that I don't like it. And I don't want my kids to ever ride a motorcycle, because I've lost one person. I don't want to lose another. Another friend had drank too much at a party or at a festival and walked off and died of exposure. And I have to deal with that. Like, that's going to scare me for the rest of my life, probably. It's going to worry me. It's, each day gets easier. The pain dulls. It starts like a knife, and eventually it dulls like a headache. It starts this pinpoint pain, and then it goes and drops to a dull throb, and eventually it's just tightness, and eventually it fades. Except this is a headache that never goes away. It just, it sits there. Doesn't affect me every day or anything. It's, you know, I don't deal with the grief every day. And like anybody that's grieved can tell you the same. You live with it. You remember it. It sits in your mind, and it impacts the way you react in subtle ways, sometimes in big ways. But it's different for everybody, I guess. That's just my experience with it. I don't know how other people deal with grief, but that was mine. It completely changed the person I was. Not completely, I'm still kind of the same person, but I was a little bit more apprehensive about things. And then in other respects, I was more reckless. I lost one of my best friends, and then suddenly I'm taking risks that I wouldn't have before. I'm jumping into things because I'm thinking, all right, this could all end tomorrow. I've got to try this. I've got to do this. I started saying yes to things. I've started saying yes to as much as I could. I filled my plate with as much as I could. That's the reason why I'm doing this podcast in the first place, is because years and years ago, you know, I decided to apply to be a sports reporter on a whim on the last possible day I could, and I got the job, and that led me to meeting, you know, Jared and Mike, and it got me my foot in the door to do a show on 101.5, and then, you know, I took a shot. I had this idea for a podcast for years, and I decided, okay, now I'm going to do it. I approached Jared with it, and he's like, okay, let's do it, and now I'm here. And taking these opportunities, saying yes to things, you know, offers to work on projects or do a stupid radio show, have all kind of built up and gotten me to the position where I'm at, where I've got a nicely paying job. I'm on my road to becoming a published author, and I'm accomplishing life dreams. I took a chance and started a relationship in the middle of a global pandemic, and it's turned out pretty well so far. I'm taking these risks that I don't know if younger me would have, because I know in the back of my mind that I've got to do these things. That I'm only gonna be here for a short amount of time. Things are gonna happen in life, and I'm gonna get busy. My philosophy has now been, you know, this choice might be your last choice, so you might as well make it. And it's worked out pretty well. So what did I bring up WandaVision? Well, WandaVision, it's all about how is processing that grief. You see Wanda reverting back. If you think of the timeline of the MCU, basically, She woke up. The last thing she remembers is cradling the love of her life's dead body before she disappeared, and she blinks right back, and she's right back in it. It may have been 5 years for the rest of the world, but it was moments for her. And you see her process the anger. You see her process the sadness and the guilt and the regret. And the show is all about her reaction to this. And you know, this is weeks after she's lost this person and come back from the dead, essentially. And it's strange to look at it from the lens of a person who's lost somebody. Like, the way that she just collapses and falls inward. She loses herself and goes back to the things that she knows, the last good memories she has. And she's doing everything she can to bring back what she's lost. And she's got these amazing powers where she's able to do that. She's able to resurrect the love of her life and make the world safe for everyone. She could bring people back from the dead. I would never want to do that. I maybe at the time I would have, but not now. Because it reminds me of what I went through. Obviously, I didn't react in the same way that Wanda does in WandaVision, but I fell in. I remember working and just for hours, just working on autopilot. Because, you know, I had to go back to the place and work at the place where I had met one of my best friends. Met one of my best friends, and he had passed. It was the place I was. Then he died. It was, you know, every spot reminded me. It brought me back to those memories, and it doesn't surprise me that people, friends of ours, quit after that, just to get away from the memories. I remember I would have to just say, hey, I'm taking a break, and just walk away and keep myself from crying. There was a post, I don't know if it's still there, I haven't been back in years, I haven't been back since I quit. There was a post on the wall where there used to be a door, like a door frame. And he had written his name, and he had written it as what our boss used to call him. He was back when he first started, and our boss didn't know his name, so he kept calling him the wrong name, and it just became his nickname. And he'd written it on there, and I remember seeing it one day. I was just working, and it was months after, and I, you know, kind of reached a bit of normalcy, and I was okay. And I remember just seeing it and starting to cry. I remember one of my last days there, I went, and he had also written his name on the brick on the back of the building. And I just remember we were closing up, and I had some free time because I'd done everything quickly, and I just stood there. I just stood there talking to him. And talking to him about all of the things that we remembered. And, you know, all the things that we shared, all the memories we had. And I just remember, like, I think a half an hour went by, and I'm just standing out there in the cold, in the middle of Winnipeg winter, just talking to a wall. Because it made me feel better. I remember basically one of the first days I went back to the gym. And I remember I didn't, like, my headphones were in, but I wasn't listening to music. I wasn't listening to a podcast. I just had my headphones in. And I went through my entire hour-long workout. And my head was just sitting there. Because he's the person that got me to start working out, started going to the gym, because it was something we did together. And I remembered that. It was hard to go back, because it just the being there brought back the memories. It's a weird thing. So I can empathize with Wanda creating a little world for herself and bringing back from the dead the people she loves, because she can. And because she's still sitting in it. She's still in that grief. And it's how we process. And I think we really need to be more cognizant of that. COVID-19 is ripping our world apart right now. People are dying at unprecedented rates. We're closing in on 1,000 COVID deaths in Manitoba. We've almost 600 in Winnipeg. And thankfully, we've finally flattened the curve again, and we're getting cases back down. And I know that we're probably going to rest on our laurels again and make the same mistakes we did in the summer, but I hope we're a little bit more cognizant of what people are going through. That we're not only grieving losing people, and there are thousands upon thousands, there are millions of people out there grieving loved ones that died unnecessarily. If you think about COVID-19, COVID-19 didn't have to happen. It didn't have to get as worse, as bad as it has. And there are millions of people that have died that didn't have to die. And there are more millions that are grieving those people. But I think we're all kind of, we've all been grieving our lives. We've been grieving the world we knew. I was sitting watching the game yesterday, the big game. I can't say it on, I don't want the NFL to come down and sue the station because I accidentally said the S word. If I said the S word, I think somebody else would come down on the station, but we're all grieving the life that we had. Watching that game, seeing people in the stands, like seeing people in the stands, not just the cardboard cutouts, seeing actual people there. Seeing the people on the field without masks on, I was about to scream because I was like, this is not okay. This is not right. Whereas if it was a year ago, I would see that as the most normal thing in the world. And we're just trying to figure out what life is like now. Our world is completely different. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to, you know, I think the anti-maskers are really just grieving the world that they lost. I mean, a lot of them are really not great people, but there are people out there that are grieving the world we lost. Some people adapt to it better. I've adapted pretty well, I think. I know my workplace has. I know, you know, my friends have. I know my family has. But there are people out there that are still grieving. They're still angry. They're still sad. They're still that bargaining. I'm friends with a now former Winnipeg radio personality, and he was trying to figure out like the number of people you can have in a household and how that all works. And he's like, but if I have like two people and you have two people and you're one of my two people and you have two different people, like, is that okay? And we're like, no, that's not how that works. Like, it's different. We're not allowed to have, we're supposed to have as small a bubble as possible. And he's like, I don't like that. I'm like, well, we have to deal with it now. People are still getting used to this. People are still processing the fact that life is different, and it's going to be very different for a while. So take it from a guy who's lost a lot. Take it from a guy who's grieved. It's going to take a while, but you're going to be able to do it. And that'll do it for the episode today. Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening live on 101.5 UMFM, you've got great shows and great songs coming up right now. Keep the dial turned to 101.5 UMFM. And if you're listening on Spotify, thank you very much for your download. It means the world to me. I've been Jason, you've been the audience, and have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful week.